Welcome to the Deadlock Podcast. My name is James. I'm one of the co-founders of Deadlock, and this week it'll just be me and Tony piloting this ship. It's been about a week since the launch of WWE 2K20, so it's only right that we give our thoughts of it in its current state. I mean, I was recently in a $50,000 WWE 2K20 tournament, so we're also going to be talking about that. And of course, we also have this week's episode of AEW, where Cody Rhodes fisted his way through glass. So let's not beat around the bush and get right into things.
The boys are back in town. Pew, 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 bang, bang.
Welcome back, everybody. We're actually without Marcus this week. He ended up getting sick again. So everybody go on Twitter or whatever and wish him get well soon. Send him a card if you want. Speaking of feeling good, we hit 100 5-star ratings on the Apple Podcast app. It's amazing.
Woo!
You love to see
Let's
it.
Let's go.
Baby. We actually had 105. What we want to hit now is 169.
Ooh, that's a good number. Nice.
Yeah. Let me read a few here. We have Alex Fernandez, which is our boy, Smalls. He ended up leaving one. He said, "These guys were born to talk wrestling together. Love the podcast and keep it up." Mista Alex. We had Grizz45 leave one. He said, "Great pod. These funny guys started listening because of The Fiend. Now I'm in love with this podcast." And we had Vincent Elisar say, "I wish this was Meltzer scaled so I could give it 7.5 stars, maybe 8 in the Tokyo Dome." That's some good stuff there, man. I appreciate everybody.
That's true.
Giving
that's true.
Love. That's good stuff. It is a little weird.
iTunes love.
Yeah, it's a little weird with just me and Tony, yeah? Like just a two-person crew. It's weird. This is right. The first time ever. Like even back to the very first one we filmed in an Airbnb, which is like one of my favorite ways I've ever started a podcast, by the way, is because it's incredible.
Filming in an Airbnb.
Yeah, we got to get another one. We should just like do that like every like 10 episodes. We just go get a random Airbnb and then just do it. That'd be cool.
Let's do it. I'm down. Let's make it happen.
We had some new patrons too. We had a $1. We had a couple $1 patrons. Buttercup 3, James Hodge, and Nermian. Welcome, fellas. Appreciate it. We had a couple $10. Of course, we had Blake last week and Good Crescent last week also. But Michael Robinson also joins both of them. And I'm just going to wait, and we're going to do all your gimmicks next week because the month flips over next podcast. So I'm just going to come up with all the gimmicks then. You know, if there's new gimmicks, we'll do them all at the same time, and I'll give you guys all your stuff. And Blake Xavier, I hope you know that you're going to get some sort of X-Men gimmick because I can already see it in my mind.
Ooh, yeah, it makes sense. I get it.
That's how it goes. AEW had another good week this week. WWE had a week, and we also...
that's how it be sometimes.
We had
that's
a WWE 2K20 Twitch Rivals tournament that I competed in and ended up getting second place. So I thought maybe we talk about that for a second, just because that's pretty life-changing for me, I guess, you know?
Don't be modest over here. That was a big deal over there. That was huge, man. You're too modest about it. You're like, yeah, no one cares about it. No, people care. People want to know.
Yeah, I mean, people it was good. Know. I mean, I don't even remember really. The only people I remember facing really were Dank, of course, and JB. Tangent too.
Once you get in that zone,
too.
Man, you just like get in that zone.
Until the grand finals, everybody was the same person to me. So it was just like just going along the same way. Not a disrespectful way.
You turn to Ken Shamrock, get out of my zone.
Yeah, not a disrespectful way. I just like didn't even pay attention to it really. I was just like, okay. Well, this is how I'm going to play this. So if people didn't know, Twitch Rivals is like a streamer tournament gimmick. They do not ever... I think it's the first time I've ever seen them do WWE. I think 2K got together with them, right?
Yeah, I think they do like Apex and Fortnite and stuff like that. Big games like that.
WWE is
not
on that
radar. Never the WWE.
Yeah, definitely not on that radar. But it was this year for whatever reason. I think 2K was doing like a launch gimmick with them, which... ended up being a pretty good idea, especially with all the bad press this game got on its release. I mean, I was creating my characters earlier, and I'm getting tweets like, "Do not put logos on your character. It will freeze the game." I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess I won't put logos on my character. Not like I could anyways. The logo importer doesn't work. So, I mean.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't put a custom face on your character.
No text either. Yeah, just don't use a creation suite. Just move away from that. Just don't do it.
You can't use created superstars in universe mode either. Like, just don't create anybody. Don't have a good time.
Yeah. It's actually incredible. I was thinking about it when it comes to 2K. How different it feels without the creation stuff, like right off the bat. It just feels different to me. I don't know. The game's not the same, I guess, is the way. Like you go on the community creations, you look at it, it's like, is this like SVR09? Like, what's going on right now? This is so weird.
The top download guy is Baron Corbin. They just put a crown on him and called him King Corbin. That's like the most downloads on the game. I'm like,
that's
all right.
This is weird, man. It's fucking the weirdest thing ever. Anyways,
what's the craziest about this community creation? It's like people are taking the textures from 2K20 and importing them into 2K19 to make created people.
Oh, on the PC and 2K19.
Stuff? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was hearing about that. That's probably a good idea. I actually was playing 2K19 yesterday just because, like, I don't know. Like, it's just, like, go back to it. I'm like, ooh, these characters look a lot better on 2K19. And then I start playing, I'm like, and it's not breaking every 5 minutes. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think they announced a patch 2 weeks from now. That's rough.
They came out with this thing and said, we see that some of you are having issues. Yeah.
I forgot about the you just want to read that off.
Let me see if I can
off for everybody really quick.
It's the South Park episode. We're sorry.
So like the way they addressed it was like some people are having some concerns.
Okay, here it is. We are listening closely to the feedback that's been shared regarding W2K20 and are aware of the concerns some players are reporting. We're working hard to investigate these concerns and address them as necessary. We expect to have the initial patch ready in the next 2 weeks with other to follow. Stay tuned to WWE Games social media for more information.
Okay, so some concerns that some players are having, but I think every player is having horrible concerns. Yeah, that's what that would have been cool if they would have just like addressed everything. Because it's not like I see a couple people on Twitter that kind of they're overlooking it. And it's like, man, you know, they're just playing the game. You know, they're just having the gameplay. And while there's glitches in the gameplay, don't get me wrong. I mean, you've seen them. Everybody's seen them. Like, it's been on everything. The new Legacy video is on, like, every publication ever. It's like, it's everything else. So, like, you can't import logos. You can't use logos. You can't use text on characters. It freezes the game. You can't use created characters sometimes in universe mode. It's like, man, there's, like, a lot of, like, really bum issues that, like, it's not like a some players concern thing. Like, yes, the characters glitching around the ring or whatever in gameplay sucks, but it's like these other things that are like the real issues with the game. Especially
you know,
when it's
a
game,
giant,
like, it you know, it really does matter a lot to the community, like the creations.
A giant issue is some people are getting the collector's edition that and it wasn't autographed.
How does that even happen?
I
like, what?
Like, you always use the word clown fiesta. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, they were like, well, the game launched and it was broken. And then, like, then they tweeted, oh, yeah, by the way, some of you probably didn't get a signed signature in your collector's edition. It's like, how did this happen? What in the world?
So I wrote like a thing. I was like, and this is what I would say if I addressed it. I'm not going to read it off. But basically, I was like, we're sorry. Yuke's left. That made a huge hole. You know, we have to put out a game in 12 months. We have a contract and stuff happens. We'll try and be better. That's kind of how I would do it, you know, if I was going to make my apology. And they got like so much negative backlash from like somebody came back and said, this so-called community, honestly, so toxic. Be grateful you even got a response. You were never going to be happy with their response. I'm like, excuse me?
Hashtag grateful.
How is that a thing? The gratitude era, right?
Yeah, hashtag grateful. Just be grateful you got the game. Just like, dude, we are so past that, like, at this point, man. Like,
and this isn't like an early access build or like green light on Steam. Like, this is a full $60 AAA release game. Like, that's unacceptable.
AAA release game with a collector's edition that was over $100 that some people didn't even get a signed thing in. It's just like, man.
Edge is like, Edge comes back. He's like, yeah, I'll personally sign all of your autographs. Just send me them. And
yeah, the thing that's just as bad as like the game not working is the people defending the game not working. Like, it really just comes across as bootlicking, to be honest. It's just like, man, you can just like say it how it is. I think that's, you know, just say it how it is. Like, it is like that. Like, I can't make a created character. Like, I don't think I uploaded one video to my channel this week on this game because I couldn't figure out a way to do it. I was like, oh, I can make James Fatal? No, I can't. I can make Jamie? Nope. I'm like, what can I do here? Like, play the tower? I can play the Fast Boys tower? I'm like,
Every time I went to create an arena, I would play that arena and then all the parts that I had moved and stuff would like go back to the default place that they were at. So the custom arena wouldn't even work. And then if you tried to use a custom arena in a Hell in a Cell match, it would just blue screen game.
You see the lighting's
glitch,
different, like, in custom arenas compared to regular arenas too.
Yeah. So like the lighting's sweet in the Raw arena. That photo that somebody posted, is that what you don't know?
That's kind of crazy.
So like Hogan looks awesome in like the Raw arena or something, and then like the custom arena looks like crap.
So long story short, the game did not have a great launch, to say the very least. But the Twitch Rivals thing was a good idea on their part. One, because it made people forget about that for a couple hours on that day. And two, they got to see a lot of people that they follow compete in this tournament, which was really, really dope. I had, I didn't look anybody else's the entire stream, but on mine, I had like 500 people watching, which is like a ton of people watching WWE on Twitch. So like, I think it did pretty well overall.
Dank had over 1,000, and then like some other people had a lot of people watching them. So it was a good turnout.
Yeah. Twitch Rivals, like I said, it's like a six, I think they ended up having 18 people. So it was an 18 person tournament that everyone had to stream. And they had one central stream that kind of had everybody that kind of went over and used all the VOD and talked over it. I think Ember Moon was commentating, Golden Boy, Dolph Ziggler showed up at one point. There's a good amount of people. So anyways, there's $50,000 on the line, which is a lot of money. It was 40,000, I think, in the actual tournament. And then they had like a tag team match afterwards, which was like,
right. Yeah.
That was scuff. Yeah. The tag team was scuff. The tag team was worth 10,000, but the actual tournament was worth 40,000. I don't remember how it was split or whatever. I don't remember how much I won altogether. It was a lot though. So anyways, we kick off the tournament and like, I'm looking at the brackets and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I saw Tangent in my bracket, which is another Twitch streamer that plays WWE. We met him at the playtest. Yeah. So I know he's good at the game, and I kept looking at it. I don't remember who else was in my bracket. I was just kind of, like I said, I was just kind of looking forward to moving through as many people as possible without thinking too much about it. So before the tournament, I was thinking about who I wanted to use. And I thought about who everybody else would use. And so I decided on Aleister Black just because he's a pretty safe pick when it comes to strikes and stuff. They seem to do a lot of damage. The issue that I didn't foresee using Aleister Black was how difficult it was going to be targeting the head, especially in the grand finals against Dank, which I think was part of the reason that he just beat me pretty much, was that like I was looking back at the footage. I was like, man, I did not hurt his head like at all. So like I looked at his kickout meters and they were pretty big. And I was like, oh, it's cause I didn't hurt his head. But that pretty much just happened in Dank's match. I think the rest of the matches, I ended up hurting their heads. Just cause I played it a little better. I played like, to put it very bluntly, I played like dog shit in the finals, like really, really bad. I was looking back. I was like, man,
you got in your head.
Yeah. I was like, I totally was like, I don't know, mentally
falling
behind.
He called you
on the
phone, man. You shouldn't have answered it.
Yeah, he whispered sweet nothings into my ear and it fucked me all up. I'll talk about the finals here in a second.
right.
So I think I was number one seed going in. So like someone had to face each other to face me. Anyways, the first match I played, I just assumed the first couple matches were going to be kind of easy just because, you know, I've been playing the series forever, even though, you know, just because I've been playing the series forever, I just thought, you know, a couple of these would be pretty easy. And the first one, like, so I got in and like, he's stomp cheesing and I'm like, huh, okay, well maybe this won't be as easy as I thought it was going to be. but you know, I was able to pretty much take him away with it pretty quickly. When it came to kicking out and pinning and stuff. So, you know, Black Mass, and I beat him 2-0 and I moved on to the next round. So, I don't remember if I played Tangent or not in this round.
Yeah, Tangent was the second round. I have the whole bracket here if you want.
Yeah, Tangent was the second round. The bracket switched right before we started, so I didn't even know I was playing Tangent. On the first draft of the bracket, he was on the bottom of the bracket. But on the one right before we started, it was him right underneath me. So I'm like, oh, okay, Tangent. All right, well, now I have to play completely different because, like, you know, I was kind of playing around the first one and just kind of learning.
Yeah.
I was like, one, I was trying to remember the new controls because the control switch really messed me up quite a bit. And then, you know, in the first round, too, I was just kind of feeling out how people would maybe play. So I played against Tangent, and he was a lot harder than the first dude. The first game we played was actually pretty difficult. I think I almost lost the first game. The second game, I don't know what happened. The second game, I thought we desynced because like he had resiliency and then he didn't use it at the end. When I hit Black Mass.
I think, okay. So I watched his match back. I was watching both of your streams. Cause I had two up. I had like Chris's on my phone and then yours up. And then I saw when Tangent went, I went to his, So like basically what happened was he did a rollout by accident at one point during the match, and then that used one of his reversals, and he was kind of pissed about that. And then I think he just hit triangle, because when you look at the resiliency thing, it just says triangle instead of R2 and triangle. So I think he screwed it up because he hit triangle, because it says triangle on the screen, even though it's R2 and triangle. So I think he saw that and wanted to hit R2 and triangle, but he hit triangle by accident. He was kind of upset because you just like destroyed him in that match. And
yeah,
it was
the second time I thought like we desynced, because like I think I won the match in green health. Or at least I was most of the match I was in green health. So I was like,
I think he burned through his reversals too early, and then he just kind of got screwed. Because that's kind of how it happens in the game. If you run out of reversals, that's like you're done.
There's it takes like forever for the reversals to come back this year too. I'm like,
Yeah.
If you fall behind if you fall behind one reversal stock, okay. But if you fall behind two, it starts getting pretty tough. It starts getting really, really tough. You want to make sure you get resiliency, and you don't blow your payback on getting another reversal, and just keeping up, because once they get ahead, it's just the game is not forgiving whatsoever, you know.
He was pretty upset with this performance, though. He was kind of like,
I mean, because the first game we played was a lot better, you know. He was keeping me on the ropes, and he almost, like I said, I almost lost that one.
That's just like the competitive play though, because like when you get down, you're just kind of like, it's in your head, and then you're like, I should and then you just like
it's so much different. Like, yeah, it's so much different when you're just playing, and then like when you're playing to win, just because like,
yeah,
that mental game is nuts. Like the second, like I don't, it's even worse when you're streaming, man. Like it's different if I like, I've played at a ton of MLG tournaments for Halo, and like, you know, we're not being broadcasted, we're just playing the game, and that by itself is like kind of like you're in your own head. But when you're broadcasting, and I'm and like every time I mess up, I peek to the right and the chat's like, yo, what the fuck? I'm just like, you know, like then I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. And like now the chat's turning on me. I'm like, oh
yeah.
God.
I was watching you as you were playing your first match, and you do this thing where because you're streaming, so you're trying to put on like a show and like be entertaining and do like fun stuff. And then you're like, oh shit, I should actually just try and win instead of trying to do cool stuff. And then you're like, yeah, don't let me do that ever again.
Yeah, I think you were trying to set up
spots or something.
Yeah. I was the first time I was setting up spots. I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. I was like, oh, okay, don't do that.
Because you're trying to put on like a fun match for Twitch, and then you're like, oh no, I should probably just win this thing.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. The first couple of matches was like trying to figure out how to not set up a match and like actually just go for the win. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I shouldn't try to springboard to the outside or anything.
Yeah, because you did like the Aleister Black springboard, like moonsault thing, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
I shouldn't.
I did the sit down spot. I did the I flipped back in and sat down. I was like, well, that sucks.
That was a bad mistake.
Yeah, that was awful.
You forgot to mention Ghost Aiden and Nick A30 of Fortnite fame were in this, which is
they were in my bracket too. I don't think I ever saw either of them though. I think they lost.
Yeah, they got
quick.
First rounded on each of them, but it is what it is. It was cool that they got like these bigger people so they could get more exposure, because I think they had like 5K.
They had to
plus
have a
viewers
ton.
In
yeah,
their streams.
Yeah.
So it was
because
they were
to
streaming
face
Fortnite
them.
Before. Yeah,
I wanted to face them just for the clout.
Yeah, right. That would have been good. Well, it was funny because I was watching Nick A30 and he was practicing before the stream, but he was doing it offline. So I don't think he obviously never played the game, so he didn't know the lag input. So it's like, I was like, no, Nick, you're never going to make it far if you don't practice online.
I actually found the triangle during this tournament a lot harder to reverse with than the R trigger back in the day. Maybe because I was just used to the timing on the R trigger. But yeah, like, I'll talk about more of that. It was
more so
the grand finals when I just fucking lost my mind. I ended up 2-0 in the first round, 2-0 against Tangent. I think I played someone. I think I played someone else in the next round. I don't think I played JB then.
You played King Ranny
in the next round.
I don't think that
was too difficult. I think I 2-0'd him pretty quick too.
Yeah, you did. You 2-0'd him.
So I think at that point I'm in like the winner's finals, or was that the winner's finals?
No, the winner's finals was you and JB.
Okay, so did I play JB next?
Yeah, JB was next, and then everybody that lost got to go to the loser's bracket, which they get a second chance to get back in, so that was kind of cool.
So I played JB in the winner's finals, and he was like the one dude that I think he beat Dank to get to the winner's finals, right?
Yeah, he went 2-0 over Dank, so Dank had to climb all the way back to get...
Yeah.
back into
and I talked about that in the stream too as the losers bracket was happening, because like I had to sit there for what, like an hour and a half or 2 hours, and just sit there as the losers bracket was finishing up. I'm like, man, I wish I would have like play. I kind of wish I would have just lost so I could like keep the momentum going up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like sitting and waiting, and then you didn't want to pull up the stream. I was like, I was telling you, Chad, I'm like, you should pull up the stream and watch some people. And you're like, I don't want to get in my head and watch it.
Yeah, I didn't want to, because I would have, you know.
And then at first you were just sitting there talking to chat, and then you're like, maybe I should play online, I think, right? Weren't you doing that?
Yeah, I played online a few times, but I mean, I beat everybody.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. It's like a tournament, so I was just like, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I definitely kind of like got iced going from winners finals 2 hours later to grand finals, where I just didn't play anything, which I think got, you know, messed with me too. But I played JB in winners finals, and that was interesting. So he used Roman Reigns, which has the pop-up spear, which is you can't reverse once he pops you up.
Uncounterable. Yeah. What is ridiculous.
That, what is that bullshit? I was like, I was so confused, and I was confused against Edge too, because I was like, oh my God, this is, you still can't do anything about this? I was like, this is rough, man.
I feel like you can counter the pop-up, but not the spear.
Right.
So you can counter the, so it's like a weird, and sometimes in that game, I noticed that you can reverse even if the prompt doesn't prompt you to reverse. It's very weird.
It's incredibly weird. Yeah. I don't really know when I can and can't reverse. It's, and like I said, the R2 is way better than triangle to me. Maybe I just need more time with it. But JB, I'm trying to remember this game exactly. I don't think I like struggled too much with this one. But I was just extremely happy that I won a 2-0 on this one. I didn't drop a game until grand finals.
That is true.
Yeah, I 2-0'd everybody all the way through. So when I played JB, I think a lot of people were looking forward to that just because of that bullshit that happened on Twitter. You remember that? Because like I looked on Twitter like in between the matches we were doing, and like people were going kind of like nuts on Twitter about it. I'm like, yo, I forgot that even happened while I was playing them. And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. I was like, all right, let me do it for the boys. And that's, you know, in the second game, I think I beat him pretty convincingly. I don't think I, like I said, it was a 2-0. So, I mean, like he was definitely the best player I had played up until that point. But I don't know if, I think I kicked out of a bunch of stuff. And I think the same thing that happened to me in the grand finals probably happened to him, where like, it just became like a mind game sort of. And like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, and, cause I mean, he was he definitely like if we were to play again, he could definitely take games off of me. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely not like a 2-0 every time or anything.
Yeah. I was checking into some of his stream, and I think he got flustered by the chat kind of a little bit, cause the chat was like very backseat gaming, you know? So that kind of like,
dude, yeah, that's
riled him up. So
yeah,
the chat's always like, oh, you could have done this. Why didn't you do that? Hey, you should have done this. Reverse this. Oh, come on, James. You could do better. Why aren't you doing better, James? Yeah. James, come on, yeah, James. James.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I'm trying. I really am trying.
Just close the chat room.
Yeah, I really am trying, guys. I promise.
So it was interesting because then he have to go? He got to go back to the loser's bracket.
He
again,
went to
right?
loser's finals.
And then he had to fight Dank again.
Yeah, so Dank ended up losing. Dank ended up losing pretty early, so he had to come back from like losers second to like all the way to grand finals, which he ended up doing. I think he beat JB 2-1, so JB took a game off of him, which is pretty close. So like, I wanted to play Dank, obviously, just because like, I mean, like, if I want, yeah, I think I could have beat JB again, but like, I wanted to play Dank just because I hadn't played him in the tournament yet. And I feel like if I didn't play Dank, then like, I don't know, it just wouldn't have been as cool.
Right.
So,
right.
Anyways, we get to the grand finals, and like, I have the reset or whatever. So like, I was kind of like just playing it out the first game, just trying to see like what's going on. And, so Dank uses Edge, and, dude, I'll be honest with you. I got no clue how to play against Edge. Like not even a little bit. I was like, after I played the first game and I lost the first game that we played, you know, I sat there and I was like, huh. So the second game, I tried to like learn him a little bit. I'm like, okay, so the spinning heel kick literally tracks across the entire ring.
Yeah, it's insane, the distance boot on that thing.
Yeah, spinning heel kick's crazy. The big boot has a very quick reversal window. And the spear is never procs the reversal thing. Even when he's not doing the toss up, you know, you can reverse it. I've seen it reverse, but it's like incredibly difficult. I think I reversed it once during the entire set.
So, yeah, I think so.
Anyways, he beat me 2-0 pretty quick, and it went to a reset. And during the reset,
so basically how that works, if you don't know how it works, so basically I think you only had to win one match, right, at the beginning.
No, I had to beat him twice. I mean, I had to win one of the best of threes. So I didn't. Yeah, I had to win one of the best of threes.
They explained it kind of weird because they were like, "Oh, James only has to win one match, and then Chris has to win two," and it was like just weird. So like, it was basically like if Chris could win, then it would go to another 2 out of 3.
So yes, if Chris beat me in a best of three, then we go to another best of three. If I beat him in the first best of three, that was it. It was over. Is essentially how it goes. But he ended up 2-0 on me at the very beginning. These were the first games I even dropped in the tournament, which was pretty surprising to me, honestly. So we go to the next one. I think he beat me in the first match, but I was able to take one game off of him. And the biggest thing at the end of the day, like, he outplayed the fuck out of me. Like, I was looking, I was like, he outplayed the fuck out of me is what it was. Like, if I could have hit any of the major reversals, it would have been a lot different. I fucking whiffed every major reversal. I don't think I hit one on the second reset. And I was like, man. And every time it popped up, I was like, dude, I can't believe I didn't hit that. Because, like, I'm trying to get used to the major reversals of triangle, and, like, I'm just not hitting any of them, Tony. And I was like, man. Yeah. Like, if I could just hit one major reversal, I could target his head, and then I could do black mass, and I could probably get the pin on him. Because in my head, I'm like, damn, he's kicking out of everything. And then it wasn't until after, you know, the whole tournament was over, and I was like, oh, man, I didn't target his head at all. So, like, that was the biggest thing is, like, I missed all my opportunities to do something to him is what it was.
Yeah.
And, like, he didn't miss anything. Like, he kicked out of everything. He was playing on fire. Like, it was nuts. Yeah.
That's probably the best I've ever seen him play. Like, yeah, like, that was, he was, like, at all.
Everything was kicked out of, everything was reversed at a good time. Like, he was definitely locked and loaded and ready to go. Like, he was definitely, you know, where he needed to be. And I just was not. And, like, I pretty much knew after the first game on the second reset, I'm like, I don't know, man, he's just playing better than me. Like, that's just all it is. He's just playing way better than me. So I ended up taking one game from him somehow. I think he just whiffed the pin or something. Or maybe it was lagging or something. I don't know. I ended up taking one game off of him. So it actually made the finals a lot more interesting when I took the game off of him. Because then it came down to just one game. Like, whoever wins this wins everything. And I got a good start, and I got him down, and I got him down for the pin, but he kicked out. And then he speared me, and I was like, that's it. Because, like, what can I do, you know?
That's insane. Spear it's
was
insane.
Rough. It was good. Yeah,
anyone with a spear, bad. Probably
I even switched to Baron Corbin
choice.
One time. I switched to Baron Corbin. I played Aleister Black the entire tournament. I switched to Baron Corbin once just because I feel like Corbin has a good reversal for when people run at you. He has a pretty snappy reversal. I mean... It didn't matter if I couldn't hit any major reversals or get ahead in reversal stocks.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I mean, like, when you're playing competitive WWE 2K, like, the biggest thing is making sure you time your major reversals correctly and making sure that, you know, you whatever your finisher is, you target that for most of the match or at least try to. You know, with the black mass, it goes to the head. And, like, I'm looking back at those games, I'm like, man, I didn't get a chance to target his head like any. I think on the last game I got a couple of chances too, but it, you know, it didn't really matter because he ended up hitting the spear anyways, and that was pretty much it. But it was, I mean, it was a well fucking played tournament. Me and Dank, I think, was the best possible finals that they could have had for this tournament, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, obviously more people probably would have showed for like Nick A30 and whatever just because they're, you know, clout crazy with the Fortnite stuff.
Yeah, right.
But, like, for the community, I guess, for that. I mean, I saw a lot of people in the community kind of dogging the shit, too. It's like, bro, like, you know, I've been part of this community for, like, most of my adult life. Like, I just saw people in the community kind of dogging it. Like, you know, I should have been in it, or I beat these guys, or, like, I can't believe they do this. I'm like, can y'all give me 5 fucking minutes? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, I've been doing this for, like, most of my adult life, and, like, this is, like, one of the bigger moments that I've been able to compete in something like this. But I was like, you guys couldn't, like, just wait 5 fucking minutes for us to finish the tournament before you started dogging on everything? I'm like,
well, you were trying to do competitive stuff since like Machinima Palooza. Like, what year
we were doing competitive tournaments on WB13, man. We were doing competitive tournaments forever ago.
2012, man. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, we were doing tournaments, man, like forever ago. I don't even think I could drink at that point. I think I was like 20.
So like, if there's anybody that's a great competitive, like anybody that represents like the hardcore competitive scene of this game, James would be like right up there. It's like the guy,
you know, like, yeah. And I might not be like the best player ever, and I whiff a bunch of stuff, and like, you know, like, but I enjoy doing it, and I met a lot of my friends through that shit, you know, like you meet a lot of cool people, and like the competitiveness kind of brings another element to the game. And you know, I've pitched that to 2K, you know, I've talked about that to them all the time, the competitive WWE stuff.
Yeah, right.
Obviously online still not like, I don't think is a huge factor for them still. I don't know. I don't even know what a huge factor for them is anymore. My career maybe. Cause I was thinking about
it. My career. Yeah. My career is their like bread and butter.
Yeah. Cause I was like, I was looking at this game like, well, Creation obviously wasn't. So Creation is not it. Online is definitely not it. So like, what
Showcase
is? Yeah, Showcase is horrible in this game. This is the worst Showcase. They better never ask me what I think of Showcase ever again, bro. Because that ruined my whole life, dude. That this Showcase for this game was awful. I don't know what I don't know what happened. Like it was already there in black and white, like how to do this mode where people liked it. Like the Stone Cold Showcase was really dope. Like it was there for you to see. The Daniel Bryan one wasn't bad. And they were just like, ah, fuck all that, bro.
I think they decided like, oh, it's too easy. We need more objectives. And it's like, that's not it. That's not what you do in a mode like this. You don't add more of these weird.
Dude, that last match, the WrestleMania one, sucks. It's like the worst thing I've ever played in my life. Like, I'm not even talking about video game. I ain't talking about like wrestling video games anymore, bro. Like, that's just like the worst thing I've ever played.
I played like three of the matches or whatever, and I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever.
You have to constantly press start and go to the menu, start and go to the menu, start and go to the menu. Like, how do I do front face lock takeover 6? Like, who knows? Like, what? I have to go into the mode and I have to press start every 5 seconds to see what to do, like, that's not fun. Like that,
and I'm glad that I waited to do it, because imagine people that just bought the game and were like, all right, I'm just gonna play it. They didn't know to press start and go to the menu.
Oh, I'm sure if they just bought the game and they played, I was talking about it on when I was streaming it the other day. I was like, man, I'm gonna get like one of my friends over here and I'm gonna give him like $100 if you can beat the first match without cheesing it or doing whatever. If you can just beat the first match, fuck it. If you can cheese it and do it, do it. Because like Natalya locks in the finisher and then like that's it. You lost. Like that's it. It's like, man, this is rough. I was playing
wild.
I started on legend difficulty for Showcase and that was impossible. So I switched to normal. I'm like, why is it so difficult on normal? Like, this is nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. I don't know what they were thinking with that. This should just be like this easy thing that you do so you can replay the matches and have a good time. Like, that's what Showcase is all about.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's like, it's always been like that. But this year,
the Stone
like,
Cold
no.
one is the best. Yeah.
That one rules.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And it's like, dude, whatever. You know, I just like, I wipe my hands off. I streamed for 10 hours on the first night and I wipe my hands off. I say, I will not play this for a while. Like, I'm not going back to this for a while.
So you did your stream, you did your competitive tournament. I think you're done with 2K20 for this.
Dude, I haven't played it all week. I haven't played it all week. I don't want to.
I think you got enough content. You're good.
Yeah, like, I'm like, today I ended up loading up 2K and I loaded up 2K and I made my characters for my career, and it was the worst thing I've ever done, Tony. Did you make the my career players?
Yeah, but I just did like random and then I just said it's good.
That was probably the best possible thing you could have done, because I was messing around with it, dude. And like, there's some like little kinks and there's some blaring issues, but like there's little kinks in there. Like if you press back out of, like selecting a piece,
it resets like everything.
Yes, dude, that happened like 4 times. I'm like, so like, there's horrible, man.
I was creating some people and I had that same thing. I was like, okay, I'll just hit back. And it's like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, because I just like, I changed everything. And then I went to one thing to like, oh, I don't want to change this color. And I said, no. And then the whole thing resets. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And I went to like my entrance attire to my regular attire to my entrance attire. And I did it the wrong way. So then everything reset back to the beginning and I was so mad. Like, why is it so difficult? Why do they not? Why? Man, just do more PCW. That's all you gotta do, man.
this is ridiculous. I was like, this is crazy. Like, this isn't even like, this is just like little things like this that are even messed up. Like,
when you put logos and then you go to use them, it'll all reset and mess up. Like, it'll
crash the game if you try to use logos in my career. And I went to go do my pose or whatever for my character for like thumbnails and stuff, and the fingers are broken. Did you see that? It's like hot dog, broken hot dog. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, how did this even happen? Like, oh man, they're like, yeah, we got this patch coming or whatever. I'm like, what? How in the world are you gonna fix all this?
Like, this take me like 2 days to download this patch with all the issues.
Yeah, I don't know if they had this patch. Like, I don't know if they just started making this patch or if, like, I don't know where this patch came from, if it was in the plans or not. Like, if this was a reactionary thing. But if it's a reactionary thing and they only have 2 weeks time to fix these bugs, bro, I don't know what they're gonna fix. Like, oh man.
Do you want to know the wildest thing? The wildest thing is people are like making videos like how to beat Velveteen Dream, my career objective glitch, how to get past the glitch in my career.
How to get past this glitch.
And there was an issue with my career as well that if you would choose, there's like a fantasy match at one point, like a dream match that you do. And if you choose to do the dream match, it freezes and every time you load into my career, it won't load.
There was something like that 1 year too. It was like, don't do this in my career. It'll blow the whole save up. I think it was last year. I think it was like towards the end of the game or something. They were like, don't play that match. And I'm like, why don't I play this match? It's like, because the game will break. I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll do it.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. I've got bricked so many times, man.
They changed the modding stuff too. Like, they changed all the files and stuff, so they made it like 40 times harder for anybody to do anything with the mod. All you can do is like import and export and stuff. Like, it's just like, well,
it's wild. I don't know, man. Like, if I was a publisher, I would make there's got to be some like ironclad contract that says you have to have this game out on this day or your ass is done. Like, that's the only way that it could get released in the state it is. Like, it must have just been like, WWE's gonna come to their house and like behead them or something, and they don't get this game out because, like,
yeah, Vince comes and spanks and puts them in the Kiss My Ass Club.
That's literally like, because any developer ever, like, didn't the game just like Last of Us just got delayed or something?
Yeah,
right?
Last of Us 2 got delayed. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, just delay the game. Like, it's fine. Like,
yeah, but I think issues, like,
we're gonna
like
fix it.
It's just that's what I said. Like, this is not like this series is not like a video game series. It's just a marketing piece for WWE. Like, they don't care. It's just get the game out so they can make it for Hell in a Cell. You know what I mean? Like, just so they can have and this Hell in a Cell is sponsored by 2K20. Get your 2K20.
Do they have their superstars on the red carpet for SmackDown holding up the
holding up the game?
The game. That's all they need.
Yeah, just get the game. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's not. Like, it's not a video game series. It's just a marketing piece for WWE. And, like, once you come to terms with that, it makes everything a lot easier.
And then I think my career is just like, oh, we're going to show this off on trailers and PR stuff. And then it'll be like, that's it.
This year's rough, dude, because they had that dude that used to work there too. Justin Leeper, was that his name?
Did you see that? I think something like that. Yeah, he put out a video.
Yeah, he put out a video where he's just like, man, I'm ashamed to even say I worked on these games. I'm like, damn, bro, that's crazy.
That's rough, man. He was there when Marcus was there, so it would be interesting to hear what Marcus has to say about all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's really happy with this. I doubt the people that worked on 2K are happy. They definitely didn't ship this game in, like, you know, a sigh of relief and went, ugh, you know, like, we did it, boys. I think they probably sent that game out and they said, all right, well, we're going to be working overtime here trying to fix it.
I remember Jinx was texting in like this company Slack account, like, oh, well, here's a glitch. He's like, our Slack account's blown up now, guys. And we're like, not from people giving thumbs up saying we're good. Like, no.
Yeah, I was looking at I wonder what the current Metacritic is for it. Did you, because I saw it, there was only one review up there last time, but it definitely was not good.
I saw the IGN thing.
And a lot of game companies like live and die by Metacritic reviews. So,
yeah, what I'm told is that that's how they get their bonuses.
Yeah, well, this,
so like,
no one's getting
developer bonus. Like, they're Metacritic 41%
out
of 41 votes.
On Metacritic, and that doesn't
user even, score is 1.5.
That doesn't even bring in IGN's review, neither. It didn't bring in a lot of reviews. This is just like what it is. It's just like, man, this is tough. this is tough. Oh, it does have IGN's review up here on the Xbox One version. That's tough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Xbox One version has 43 and the PC version has 40.
41 for PS4.
Yeah, that's rough, dude. It definitely was not a good launch for them. But thankfully, I think we carried the Twitch Rivals thing pretty well. We took it serious enough to where people really dug it, and I think it was a good time. And, you know, it helped me a ton. Like, just even getting second place was fantastic, just because, like, I just have so much floating debt that, like, this...
Yeah.
Like, that was just, like, the nicest thing. Like, I was... Like, I literally started crying on stream. I was like, just don't fucking cry. I was just like, try not to cry. I was like, oh, God.
That was like the coolest thing, because you called your mom, or was that your mom you were talking to on the phone?
Yeah, that was my mom.
And I was like, oh, man. And I was over here like tearing up, you know, like, I don't cry.
Yeah, because she's like, she's just like blown away.
No, because it was hilarious because you called her and you were like, yeah, you know that little lame ass tournament I told you I was in?
Yeah, I just like mentioned it in passing by because I was like, oh, I probably won't do very well in this tournament, so like I'm not gonna like pitch it to him hard or anything. I was just like, yeah, I'm in this tournament or whatever. You know, I'll probably be home from work, so if you see my car, like, you know, don't freak out or anything. I'm just gonna play in this and then I'll go back to work the next day. I got second in the tournament, won a bunch of money, and I had to wake up and go to work the next day. I was like,
yeah, you called your mom, you're like, yeah, I won over like 10k, and she's like, yeah, right. And you're like, no, it's real.
Yeah, she
was like, then you like broke down, and it was insane, dude. It's crazy. I was supposed to be in this tournament, by the way.
Yeah, I know. You're like, I'm in the tournament, and like, you weren't. I was like, what the hell happened?
I'm so salty about it, man. To be honest, I already yelled at the Twitch Rivals people because I wasn't in it, because it was kind of bullcrap, because they sent the email while we were all out at 2K and we were all checking out the game on the Friday. So no one saw the email. 2K didn't mention anything to us, of course.
Yeah, no.
And then you guys email, I think you were messaging Twitch Rivals people, or were you messaging 2K? I think you're messaging 2K. There's a mistake I made. You were messaging 2K like Ryan and stuff, like, hey, I want to be in this tournament. And I was messaging Twitch Rivals.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh yeah, sorry, you didn't get in. And then they're like,
well, yeah, Brian, they told me, yeah, Brian got out with me. He said, you know, you excited for this tournament? I said, what the hell are you talking about? He said, you're in this tournament. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the Twitch Rivals people messaged me and they're like, yeah, we sent you an email. And I looked at my email. I was like, no, you didn't, but okay. And then they're like, yeah, you're in the tournament. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll just wait it out and see what happens, you know? So that's kind of what
happened. Yeah, I was a third in line on the back. To like, if two other people dropped out, I would have got in. One person dropped out and then someone filled in and then I couldn't get in it. But it's probably because I didn't message 2K. I was messaging the Twitch Rivals people. And then I come to find out Twitch Rivals is like, yeah, we don't know any of the big WWE game streamers. We don't understand this. Like, we're just going off 2K's words, so our bad.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they at first they had no submissions as a rule. Then they're like, eh, you can do submissions. It was supposed to be False Count Anywhere also, because they changed that too, but then they changed it back. I was like, oh, okay.
Basically what they were coming up with the rules were like, okay, well, you can't turn it off online, so it's got to be you have to allow it, because you can't turn it off.
Yeah, you can't turn off anything. You can't do, actually, you can't do a lot of stuff online. I don't think you can't use custom arenas. You can't use custom attires.
Can't use custom arenas. Can't edit custom rules.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
So any of the match rules, you can't edit any of that. There's a lot with the online. You can use custom attires.
There's a lot with the whole game, man. It's just like, this is kind of almost, this beginning part has, yeah, this beginning part has almost turned into like a post-mortem 2K talk, and we're not even a week past the release date. That's rough, man.
I can't believe it. It was last Tuesday. That was it. Jeez.
Yeah.
It feels like an eternity. You know,
it really has felt like
an old lady. It's been 84 years. It's been like that.
Yeah, hold on real quick. Oh, yeah. I got to pop that open real quick for the boys.
You good? Oh, that was your monster.
Yeah. I got a purple one.
I can't see your camera right now. So I didn't know. I thought you like broke your leg or something. I heard a pop.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Tony just break my leg. Ah! So we had a few things. What?
You were playing Limp Bizkit break stuff after the end.
Yeah, I was actually confused on the copyright stuff because I was just playing Fred Durst the whole time. You know, I was just playing out Limp Bizkit. I was like, huh, I wonder if they can show this. So on the Twitch Rivals stream, actually, they muted my mic. They muted my gameplay completely because I kept cursing.
One time they went full cam on Chris And Chris goes, "What the F is this game? This game sucks so bad." And then they're like, "We cut away."
They cut away a lot because they cut away every time it lagged.
There was also, yeah, there was a huge lag part, like where the beginning match would lag for like 5 minutes. Yes. They just stopped showing any gameplay and were like, "The Miz," or who's it? Dolph Ziggler. What do you think? Yeah. And they just like went to Dolph Ziggler and like,
oh, yeah,
it was
yeah,
the weirdest
yeah.
Thing ever.
The tag team part. So after, you know, after I got second, they're like, let's do, you know, there's this tag team part where like the winner gets $7,000, the loser gets $2,500 or something like that. Or maybe the winner got $7,500. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, that's a lot of money. So I was like, and this is right after the, you know, the 40,000 tournament. So there was like 10,000 left in this. Anyways, so they started up. They're like, what team do you want to be on? I'm like, I'll be with Golden Boy just because me and Golden Boy have been friends for a long time. I was like, yeah, I'll play with Golden Boy and I'll let Dank play with Ember Moon or whatever, just because that's, you know, that's cool regardless.
Yeah.
And so anyways, when you get online, we had an issue where if you try to start a tag team match online, so when you try to start a tag team match online, it says team one and team two, but the people in team one are on different teams and the people in team two are on
different
teams. Yeah,
it's very weird. So it's like, you think you'd be side by side on the screen, but it's like one and then two and then you're like one and three are on a team and two and four are on a team.
It's broken.
It's like you think the team would be together. Yeah, it's very weird. And not to mention, broken. When you guys got in the lobby, they had their mics on so loud.
Dude, I didn't even know we were starting. So, yeah. So anyways, we get in the lobby or whatever, and I'm like sitting there. I'm like talking to my mom, like just fucking crying, just like talking to her about like how happy I was that I ended up getting second in this thing. And all of a sudden it's just, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, dude. I'm so confused. And it lasted for like 10 minutes. So like we're in the game and like Dank and Ember Moon and Golden Boy, everybody's yelling through these PS4 mics that sound like garbage.
And then like Michelle's trying to tell Chris like your gain's too loud and he's like, no, it's not. It's
yeah,
not too loud.
I'm just like perpetually in shock this entire time. I got no clue what's going on.
Your jaw was just on the floor. You were I don't think you were doing anything. You were just like standing there.
Yeah,
like,
I was just like,
is this?
Yeah, I was just like pressing square, just like trying to figure out where I am and what's going on. Like, is this the actual game? So anyways, in the tag team match, Golden Boy gets in the ring and doesn't know how to get out because the controls change to get out of the ring. And he ends up DQing himself, which I'm on his team, which means we lose. And of course, Golden Boy's like, no, like restart the game. They're like, no, we got to go. See you later. All right, have a good night. I was like, oh, okay.
That's good. Switch Rivals overran the time because they're like, oh, yeah, we'll do two out of three.
Yeah, that was
or
bad.
Not two out of three.
Bad idea, yeah.
We'll do best of three and then we'll figure it out. It'll be like a nice 2 hour turn.
It took all day to like 9.5, 10 hours. So anyways, Golden Boy got in the ring, got DQ'd, but that wasn't even the bad part. So on our screen, me and Golden Boy, it says we got DQ'd and they won. On Dank and Ember Moon's screen, it did not say that. It said the match was still going. And so like they're still playing because they got desynced, which was like what I thought happened with Tangent.
Yeah.
So we got desynced and then Chris like pinned me, I guess. And he's like, we won. I'm like, I'm sitting there and when I say that he said we won, we won. Is what it sounded like on the mic. I was like, I'm so confused. So anyways, the tag team part was a complete clown fiesta. And I, you know, I talked to Chris right afterwards. And I'm like, bro, split that tag team money, bro, because this is bullshit. and he was cool about it. I mean, he knew it was a complete clown fiesta.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was like the worst showing of the game. Like,
yeah, so we're gonna end like up splitting the showcase tag team. Shouldn't have done that. They should have just ended it with me and Chris, maybe. And just giving out more money during the tournament just because.
Yeah. I feel like they just had like.
It ended
extra
on a good note
there.
Between me and Chris. And then the tag team thing was just like.
Because you're all like drained and you're like, I guess we got to do this tag thing now.
Yeah. I'm like, man, I'm saying for 10 hours. Like, oh my God. This is rough. They just have.
Overall, I thought it was a great experience. As a viewer, I thought it was cool. Like, it was a cool thing to watch.
Yeah, I thought it was fun to play in. It was just, you know, just because everybody was there. It felt like a real community thing.
The only thing I would say is that the Twitch Rivals thing was kind of messed a little bit because they would, like, take a 3-minute commercial break and they'd come back and, like, matches were, like, halfway through. So that was kind of weird. If you were only watching the Twitch Rivals thing, you'd be kind of mad. Like,
oh, well, it's probably because they've just never run WWE before. Honestly, if I was, man, if I was them, obviously like 2K gets like $1 million in marketing every year that they can do something with, right? At least that seems to be the case.
$1 million challenge was their marketing. Yeah.
So the $1 million challenge happened. And then this year they did 500,000 for the charity on Twitter. You remember that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And then they did a $50,000 Twitch Rivals thing. So like if I was them, I would just do the Twitch Rivals thing more. Like I would just like, because it creates a sense of like urgency for the game and like, mm-hmm. I need to play. Oh, I need to stream on Twitch. Oh, I need to get good. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Just cause it creates almost, it almost forces a community and like, it will not cost like $50,000 for a tournament is a drop in the bucket in the 2K marketing budget. Are you kidding
right.
me?
Right.
$50,000 would change my entire life forever. You know what I mean? So, but like the 2K marketing budget, they're just like,
they should also just like do some paid marketing where they're like, hey, big streamers play this game, you know, like have a good time and here's some money. Like that'd be another way to grow it on top of the tournament stuff is getting like,
I mean, I'll always support the competitive WWE stuff. Just, I mean, like maybe the game isn't in like the, it's definitely not the best state for the competitive. Like it was definitely a lot more fun when we, you know, it was 2K13 and 2K14.
Yeah.
But like I always support it just because it's like a faux fighter game. It's interesting. There's definitely a meta. It's just they have to fix the cheese shit, and like that's never gonna be a like focus for this series ever. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which is always gonna be the biggest downfall is like, you know, you should always have a chance to reversal proc, like no matter what. Like if you toss somebody up, there should be a chance to reverse. Like the fact that there isn't, it's kind of dumb.
There's definitely a, like I want there to be a competitive scene for this game, but it's never, I don't think it's ever gonna really happen, like real big competitive, like,
well, it's because like also if you split like the countries and shit, like if you do US versus UK, it becomes an incredibly like unfun experience just because the connection is just so,
and even
bad.
From East Coast to West Coast with you and Chris was like, connection was insane.
It was awful. I think everybody else I played was pretty good, but against Chris it was just really, really bad.
Just need that dedicated server, man. Get it.
Yeah.
Get it to happen.
So I mean, it's been an interesting launch for 2K. You have a lot of ground to make up. a lot.
Yeah.
This whatever happens in 2 weeks, needs to be something big, man. Cause like I'm dead ass. Like I almost just want to go back to 2K19 just cause I know it works. One, I know
they
it
need
works.
To give,
and two,
like,
the creations are there.
They need to give like a big statement, and then they need to get, I don't know, give us some of the DLC for free or something. I don't know. What are they going to do? Something's got to happen.
Well, the biggest thing is like, the biggest thing too is the game, like the way that they launched, like they're never going to recover from this. Like even if they release a patch 2 weeks from now or whatever the case may be, the game's still going to be broken by the time 2K21 comes out. And that's just fucking guaranteed. There's no way that they, on a yearly cycle, that they fix this game, fix the entirety of this game. What they're going to do is just make sure it's passable, and they're going to move on to the next game. Cause there's just no way. There's no way that they have a team. There's just no way. Just because they spent most of the development cycle learning how to code on the Ux engine anyways, you know, and figuring out all that. So like them trying to fix all this shit with, you know, while also making the next game, it's just like, dude, we're not dumb. You know what I mean? Like the people like follow along, like most people that follow along aren't dumb. Like they know how this is going to go. We've played these, you know, we've been on the series forever. We know how 2K cycles go and stuff like that. And, the biggest thing is like, this is going to haunt them forever. Like people still talk about 2K15, and like fundamentally that game wasn't even busted. It was just boring. And
you go back and play that, it's like the graphics are actually pretty good in that game when you look at it in like retrospect, and like
there's just nothing,
it's not
to
that
do.
Bad of a game. Yeah, it's just boring. It's not like it's broken, like the controls are bad, or like you couldn't use a created whatever. It's like, no, it's just boring.
Yeah, it was boring. The chain wrestling wasn't really fleshed out at all. It was just corny. But this one is just like, people will be like, it doesn't matter. They could 2K28, and people will be like, you remember 2K20?
Like, you just need to sweep it under the rug and move on. That's
like
the
Switch
do.
Thing too. Like I'll never forget the Switch version of 2K.
They didn't even talk about the Switch. They
because the company that even ported it doesn't even talk about it. It's not even on their website. They literally just wiped their hands of it. It never existed. Like that, they literally went on their Twitter, the company that ported it, and deleted everything that had to do with that game. They looked up anything like hashtag 2K18 and deleted it. I'm not kidding. There's like There's one tweet that they missed because I think they misspelled it, and like it's still up there on their account. I looked at it the other day. That's crazy. And honestly, I would not be surprised. Like the way that they toned that message is like, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen here. Like they're just like, you know, there's some concerns or whatever. They'll release the patch. It'll be stable enough to where you can play, and then we'll move the fuck on and like never talk about this shit again. It was bad year for them because they're releasing three more DLCs. They're like big DLCs, you know, and they have to like market that and like call that. It's just like, if this was like last couple of games, they didn't even like talk about the DLC. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, the moves pack's coming out or whatever. You can get it, you don't want to go, whatever. But this one is nuts. Well, thankfully AEW this week was pretty good. A nice thing to be able to talk about here is, I think it was another good week of AEW TV. So I'm happy with that. Did you end up catching it this week?
Yeah, for sure. They're always pulling something out of the hat. You know, it's like, how are they going to top last week? And they always pull something out.
Cody Rhodes punched glass. I said, oh my God. This is the greatest TV show of all time.
Did you see MJF's tweet?
What'd he say?
He tweeted like a picture of his scarf. He's like, it's okay. We're good to go. Like he was like, yeah, a picture of Justin's scarf. He's like, no damage done. We're still good.
Dude, that was like really, really cool. Like that whole segment was dope. It was like Cody coming out to the ring and then Jericho up in the box seats. And then the way they did it was funny. Like Jericho is like, yeah, come get some or whatever. And Cody's like, you know, I don't know what you think this is, but I can get my ass up there. I'll beat your ass right now. And then, like what'd he say?
He said, this isn't the other company we came from. These aren't invisible walls between these ropes. We can walk right through
and
come and kick your ass.
Like, that was really cool. And then the way that they did it was so self-aware. I loved it. Like the where he just sat there and like everyone knew someone was coming out, and like Cody's like pointing at the ramp and he's like, the boys are coming down. And then DDP hit and I'm like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like that was like my favorite. I think that was my favorite segment in the whole show, honestly.
That was the favorite thing of the week, man. That was fantastic.
They haven't done a ton of stuff like that, have they?
Not really. I guess maybe like the when they brawled and then they put him through the glass coffee table when you had Moxley.
Yeah, but that was during a match. I was thinking about it. I'm like, this is like one of the first actual non-wrestling segments they've had, like, period, right?
Cody was in the ring to make a statement. He was going to make like a big statement regarding his match at Full Gear or something. That's why he was out there. And then Jericho interrupted him with the air horn.
I like that a lot, actually. I like that the show has been like wrestling, and then like the couple of segments they do end up doing are just fucking great. Like they're just really, really good. I love that they brought, like, it went outside the ring. Like it went outside of like this, like it's, you know, Cody said it, like the safe space. Like,
yeah,
that was really, really cool. So Cody ends up walking up to the box where Inner Circle is with Dustin, DDP, and MJF. He punches the glass on the door and just like bum rushes them. It was really cool. He drags them out to the hallway. So cool. Yeah, like they're out there with all the fans and stuff and they're brawling. It's like, man, this is awesome. One, because DDP came out. I was like, oh my God, like I did not expect DDP to come out.
Yeah, that's
like,
so cool.
I knew he was part of the Rhodes team, but I was like, man, this is awesome. Like that was one of my favorite segments in a long time on like Western television. Like that was
It was
really,
so cool,
really
cool to see him brawl all around. And even like Jim Ross had a good line. They're going to destroy Dippin' Dots.
And then they came out with the Dippin' Dots t-shirt. I was like, wow.
Segment, Jericho screaming, I got a ticket. You can't beat me.
They made
a
t-shirt about that too. Oh my. Everything Jericho says is a t-shirt. They're making so much money, man. These AEW like diehards, they will literally buy every one of these t-shirts they release. And AEW knows it, so they just come. They are pumping these shirts.
Plus,
out
they
left
do
and right.
On-demand printing, so they don't like have stock of their stuff. So it's like the perfect marketing thing.
600 IQ.
They just print as many as they need. Like they limited time run. If we sell one, or we sell 1,000 or 1,000,000, it doesn't matter. Like we're not gonna waste a bunch of money. That's like how Pro Wrestling Tees makes all their money with their on-demand shipping and printing. It's crazy.
They're like one of the only companies that does it too. I think there's a couple more. I think What a Maneuver is one. There's a couple more, but Pro Wrestling Tees is like the one, and I think they're the official AEW t-shirt place, right?
Yeah, if you go to AEW merch or something like that .com, it goes to Pro Wrestling Tees /AEW or something like that. I don't know. It's crazy.
I think one of my favorite parts about this was like Cody was like, like shut up, Jericho, or whatever. You can sit up there all you want because he's got his ticket or whatever. Like, shut up. He's like, you're a millennial, and he just like took the jacket off and rushed up there. It's like, oh my God, all right, so like. He didn't like the boomer talk.
And then Jericho's like, you got a stupid scarf, MJF. Who wears a scarf?
Yeah, MJF just gets super pissed. Like, oh, okay.
Jericho's so self-aware of everything. That's why I love it, man.
Like, this whole company is. They're like, that's one of the coolest things is, like, how aware they are of what they're doing. And I think it makes it a little more enticing to watch. Especially, you know, as Jericho's sitting up there and he's like, I got the ticket or whatever. And as they're coming up the thing or whatever, Jericho like backs up into the door and like shuts the door. You know, like if you shut a door to a box, like you can't open it from one side. So like, that's what it was like legitimately like an issue. Cause we've sat in boxes before and they're like, don't close the door. You know, like close the door, you can't come in and out.
Yeah, cause you can't get in. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that was a legitimate thing they did. And like, he just looked over and when he punched that glass, I was like, what in the? I did not expect him to punch a glass, at all.
No, I didn't. I just find it hilarious that like Jericho and the Inner Circle all got tickets to like this show, and they're just like, he's the champion of the company, but he's like buying tickets to the show.
He's like, well, I'm not booked on the show. I get the ticket away. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, shit. Like, that was cool.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite segments in recent memory. And I hope they keep up segments like this. And like, remember when they did the SCU one where they were outside in front of the White House and stuff?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, keep that was it, like, cool too. The more that you integrate stuff outside the ring and outside the just general atmosphere of where it's at, it's really, really dope. Mm-hmm. I think like if you can mix that in with like interviews in the ring and interviews on the side of the ring, but then like have segments where it's in and out, as long as you have a healthy amount of like in and out. Cause that was one of my favorite parts growing up was like when, you know, we talked about it before where, you know, Stone Cold's on the bridge they had to reuse that bridge 100 times, man. I swear to God, it's the same bridge.
Whenever they were
in that
town, they're like, we got to use the bridge.
Yeah. Throw something off the bridge. It's just like, oh, okay. And I look forward to it every single time. So I definitely hope AEW ends up keeping that up. Cause that's some,
that's like
stuff.
Something Moxley's going to do at one point. He's going to throw the AEW title off a bridge.
Oh, I hope so.
It'll be fantastic. Yeah.
There's a lot of other good stuff. I think the one big takeaway from this was like how many tag matches were on this show, man. That was my biggest detractor on the show, I think.
They're very tag heavy. Like, they wanted tag team wrestling to be like their thing, and they're definitely making the tag team wrestling scene their thing. Like,
and that's cool because, I mean, like, all the tag team matches are fun. I mean, like, the Private Party Lucha Bros match was like pretty nuts. Like, they went out there and just like, it was a great opening match. I think my biggest thing is like Lucha Bros. Okay. Well, Private Party is cool and I like them a lot. It's just like, you could tell in this match, like, it almost got exposed a little bit in a way, where Lucha Bros is like, Lucha Bros does shit. And like, they have so much intensity and maliciousness to them.
Yeah.
And Private Party is just kind of like hanging out and waiting for their spots to come up and stuff. It's like, that was like, I feel like it kind of exposed them a little bit, but I mean, the match was fun as hell. Like, if I was there live drinking, bro, I'd be freaking out. Like, there was that one spot where they went for gin and juice and he did the Canadian Destroyer. And I was like, oh my God, this rules. Like, that was great.
I think what you're saying is just that Lucha Bros are just like, they're like top tier tag team.
They're
like,
so good. Yeah, they're so good.
So like, against anybody that's lesser, because the matches with the Young Bucks have been like insane, you know, because they're just like top tier tag
team. Each other in that ladder.
So when they have anybody lesser than them, like, not say Private Party's bad, but it's just like anybody that's not on their level, you can totally tell, and it's just,
you'll know right away. It's like that with it's like in the women's division too with Riho. She's a little better at like bringing people along with them. I think Lucha Bros is kind of like, you know, they're gonna get their shit in and they're gonna look good doing it. You know, Riho on the other hand is like, you know, I'll bring you along and make sure you can keep up with me. Especially when it came down to like the Britt Baker stuff, and like, she obviously, like, she, Riho made Britt look a lot better than she had, you know, any right in doing.
Right. I think the coolest thing about this whole, like, my favorite thing in AEW is like TV time remaining on their matches. I think
that rules.
That's so cool. And just the fact that they're like, it's almost like, oh, we gotta put them away. And they're just like, they're all going for like their finishes. And they're like, we gotta wrap this one up. And it's like 10 minutes remaining TV time. And it's so cool. That's like a concept that is, I don't think that's ever really been used in mainstream television wrestling, right?
I mean, TNA had the timer on the screen during the FSN days, right? So
yeah,
like,
they've done time limit matches, but I love the TV time remaining.
Like the main event TV time remaining.
Because you're thinking about like, well, if this Jericho segment didn't go so long, they would have had more time and the match would have ended. But
yeah, that's like, it's almost like it adds a sense. It's weird because it should make it predictable, but it makes it more unpredictable, which is cool.
Yeah, I think that's like the cool. That's like my favorite thing about the main events, TV time remaining. Cause like the other matches have like 10 minute or like 20 minute time limits or whatever, depending on the match. But I think TV time remaining is really cool.
Yeah. And this, I mean, they went to a time limit draw, and this is like one of the first times they've done that on like a weekly episode of the show. Pac and Moxley went to a time limit draw. It was interesting to see the crowd reaction to it too. I was actually wondering what the crowd reaction would be to a time limit draw on TV. Cause it was going to happen eventually. And I guess it happened, and they booed, but they didn't boo because they hated the time limit draw. They booed because it ended, which was like, you know, I think that was probably best case scenario for that. Cause then Moxley got to be pissed off, and then he attacked the referee, and then, you know, they went on Twitter like, hey, don't do that again now. Hey, don't be no attack on the referee now. It's like, oh, okay. I won't.
It could be like they could do like a cool, I guess maybe that would ruin the timeline thing, but I could say that I could see them doing something like, oh, well, we're going to finish this match on AEW Dark or something. You know what I mean? Like that could be a cool little way. But
oh, dude, again, that would be really cool. Like, like maybe, you know, go off TV with the time limit draw, but they could have, you know, have it keep going and then show it on AEW Dark or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. They're like, oh, that's all the time we got for TV. So this, but I guess their thing is like when time is up, that's it.
I like that too. I mean, either one of those is dope. I think either way you could, you know, have,
it would just kind of push the AEW Dark show even more than they already know. You know?
I think the one thing that I really like, don't get. Okay. So like, I think the next week they're in Charleston or this upcoming week, I guess they're in Charleston. And I was looking at the card. I'm like, oh, okay, it's like Cody and Jericho and, you know, the tag team, whatever. And like Rick and Morty or whatever they announced. Did you see that? Rick and Morty. They're
giving away Rick
up.
And Morty masks or something.
Rick and Morty's coming to hang out. I'm like, looking at this card that's been announced so far, I'm like, there are no women announced for this card. Like, it started off super hot. Like, Riho got really, really over. And like, they were ready to, you know, they were really revving. And like, they have like week by week just stopped. Like they haven't even announced a woman thing for this show yet, and it's like, man, this is rough, because it's just like this week they had like three or four tag team matches. I'm like, you couldn't figure out, like right now it just looks like the tag team or the women's division is just Britt Baker and Riho, and that's it. But that's literally what this division is right now. It's just Britt Baker,
definitely Britt Baker heavy, which I don't know if that's the right move to make.
I don't get it either.
I don't know what it is about
that
Baker.
Shit
not...
This week was hilarious. She came out with some Pittsburgh mascot and like the pyros blaring off. I'm like, oh shit, all right. So like
Pittsburgh, it's Pittsburgh.
I was like, wow, they really gave her the fanfare on this one. Good lord. Oh, and they put her against Jamie Hayter, who she works in Stardom. They actually mentioned Stardom on TV, which was cool.
Yeah, they did. Which I didn't really know who it was, but that was
cool. Well, she's fucking good. And you saw her this week working, and like she's really, really good. And once again, I feel like she looked better than Britt did. So like that's like one of the issues with trying to get Britt over, is like even when they get like this Hayter is like a very good, like kind of emotional heel, and she plays the crowd really well and she gets booed. But like she's really good. So it's like, you know, when Britt's facing her, it's like, oh, she's better than Britt. So it's just like,
not Britt's, a good match for Britt.
Yeah, Britt's having like a super hard time like getting anything over, because like everyone she faces is just like on another level than where she's at. Which I gotta wonder what the hell's going on, because it's got to be like conflicting schedules with you know, because they have Awesome Kong. I think they still have Aja Kong for some dates. They're supposed to do something full gear with that.
There's a deep roster, too, that they're not utilizing.
Yeah, yeah. Hikaru Shida is moving. She literally just moved to the U.S. like yesterday. So, like, she's here full time now. They have Sadie Gibbs that literally is just working here, and they're not using her at all. And she's, like, incredibly athletic. She can do a fucking Sasuke special, and not many women can do that. B Priestley.
You got Brandi Rhodes, who's not being used in
they fucking push Brandi Rhodes. So like Jamie Hayter is backstage cutting a promo, and then Brandi Rhodes pushes her and does this weird thing with her finger. I'm like, what is finger black thing? Magic? What the hell is this? Yeah, she's doing like a cast a spell on you or something. What is this? That was awful. I was like, I don't know why that was the worst thing I ever seen in my life. Like, I don't understand like why she's even on TV, dude. Because it's just like, what's the point? Like, what? Like, is she an active competitor? Like, what's happening? You know. She was going to do that one match, and then like Awesome Kong came in. That's when they were teasing the Kong stuff, right? So, like, I don't know what's going on.
The chief brandy officer, whatever that means.
The chief brandy officer. Oh, hell yeah, brother. Chief brandy.
I don't even know what that means. That's just because Stephanie's the chief brand officer of WWE, so she's the chief brandy officer of AEW. So.
Yeah, that was doo-doo sauce. I was like, this is bad.
I guess what they're building to next week, though, is just the tag team finals for the championships. So.
Yeah, but it's like they got so many talented women. I'm like, why is nothing happening here, man? Like, I don't understand. Like, it just would be nice, especially because, you know, they put them on Dark. Like, I think they had a fatal four way like Sadie Gibbs, and you have to, like, also push these women. Like, you can't, like, Riho can take them, you know, most of the way, but she also needs, you know, it takes two to tangle.
Yeah. So yeah, the poster for the show, they have Allie on it. So that's it. The one woman is Allie.
It's weird. I like Allie, and I think she's like is dope, but like I'm definitely not like off the seams looking forward to like Allie versus Riho or anything, you know, like Allie versus Britt Baker. Like I'm not, they're not right. Like they have like a ton of people that I do like they can eventually build Britt Baker and Allie to that point, I think, to where I maybe would look forward to it. But like I'm not right now. Like what I'm looking forward to is like Hikaru Shida, who kicked fucking ass at the pay-per-view, Riho, who has won over literally everybody. You got Sadie Gibbs there. Like I said, that is just a freak of nature. B Priestley is, you know, she's B Priestley, but people like her a lot. Especially in America. In Japan, maybe not so much, but America, they really like B Priestley. It's just like, you have so many people to pick from. You keep bringing in Emi Sakura a bunch, and like, that's like a free matchup right there because she trained Riho. Just do that match. Just let them have a singles match. Just do that. Like if
just
you
let
need
them
to
do that,
just like they face each other 100,000 times. Just let it happen. You know, just it's right there for you, bro. But for whatever reason, they just keep not doing that. So, and the way they started the show this week was super cool too. It just like no intro.
I was watching it because I watched it on replay, not live. So I was watching like the TNT app. I'm like, oh, did I miss the intro or did they like, cut it off? And it was like, no,
they just
how it
started straight up. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like this is it. Like something super small like that makes it feel like a super evolving show. Like what we're watching is changing every week, whether we want it to or not. It's just very, it's very cool. It's very dope.
And I hate to do like the comparison to WWE, but it's always like, you know, the first 30 minutes is going to be talking in WWE. So you're like,
no, I mean, you do. I mean,
comes out,
yeah, you,
cuts a promo.
You pretty much know how the program's going to go. And that's just because we've watched it for so much. And like AEW has that is that like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like we have no program for how this show is going to go. And like, it makes it unpredictable and a lot of fun to watch just because we have no clue what's going on. We're just kind of tuning in for the ride and hoping for the best because, one, we don't have any disdain against this company just yet. Yeah. And, we haven't been let down and everything's been kind of firing on all cylinders for them. So, like, I tune in and whatever they want to show me, I'm ready for that experience. And
I think they're doing that as well themselves. They're kind of like, all right, how can we make this different than last week? And let's do it.
Yeah, I seriously think they do that every single week. They're like, okay, so let's write out a program and then like find a way to just fucking do something different. Like, I think that's really, really cool that they end up doing something like that.
Yeah, you can definitely tell.
On the flip side of stuff, Chad Gable was dressed like a daytime kids show, dude. So that was really cool. I'm sorry, Shorty G. Shorty G.
Shorty G.
He said, I'm not gonna say this promo. I ain't gonna sit here and say, I ain't saying nothing no more. You know what? I am short and I'm proud of it. Okay. Like, yes, you are short. Is there anything else you would like to say here? I was like, okay.
It's so funny. Like how Rey Mysterio, that's how a short person should like get over. You know, like everything they did with Rey to put him over and make him like,
ah, so that's what they should do, Tony. They should take Chad Gable, put him on a stretcher, and then throw him up against a turnbuckle.
Yeah, that could work too.
They should get the Great Khali to come squish his head in. If they don't look, you have the blueprints to getting somebody over. Squish your head in. Have Batista grab him by the neck. Like there's just a lot of ways you can get him
over.
Oh my
goodness.
And put him out there.
Lawn dart him into the side of the production truck.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Like Kevin Nash. Yeah, just fucking just, oh my God, that was very scary. Yeah, man, this was like the funniest shit I ever seen in my life. I thought I was having a fever dream, Tony. I looked at this picture, I said, what the hell is this? He just got a big tank top on that says G. I said, damn, this is crazy. Like, just the other week, he was like a badass shoot Olympic wrestler that like got second in King of the Ring. I was like, damn, all right, well, they're pushing this man, Chad Gable. And then like a week after they pushed him, they're like, all right, we're doing that Shorty the G thing. We got this trademark. That shit had me fucked up. I said, oh.
This sucks. He's like an Olympic son of Kurt Angle. He should have been like the greatest wrestler ever. Like,
American Alpha was one of the most over tag teams in NXT. Jason Jordan ended up becoming Kurt Angle's son and then got injured. And then Chad Gable is dressed up like a kid going to recess.
This
is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, dude. I was like, I cannot believe that they have a shoot Olympian on the roster, and they're like, you are Shorty G, you dumbass. I saw him out there with Hulk Hogan. I said, dude, they're fucking this dude up hard. They're like, he must have shit in somebody's bag or something, because this man got the work.
Who did he piss off? He probably smiled backstage or sneezed in Vince's office.
And you know, Chad in his head's like, I'm gonna own this, baby. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna break through whatever they give me here. It's just like, good luck.
Remember how excited we were? We're like, Baron and Chad Gable had a sick match. Like, they put on,
dude,
a banger.
Dude, Baron looked like $1 million after that tournament. And this Chad is great. Looked incredible. Yeah, I remember. That's my only takeaway. I think that's the only thing I know about WWE from this week is I had to look at this Chad Gable thing because it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, man, we were just talking about how over this dude is now. It's like, how long is this going to last now?
There was the NXT stuff with Finn Balor. I don't know if you caught that.
Yes, because people sent it to me. I'm guessing he didn't join Undisputed Era. He's just turned on Johnny and
Ciampa. I think it'd be cool if he did join, but also see the other side where like he's not. I don't know. It's gonna give you your favorite match of all time, Johnny Gargano. He's gonna wrestle. Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't wait. They're gonna go 50 minutes. Johnny Gargano's gonna do his face thing. I'm so excited. He's gonna steal his finisher.
But I thought it was cool because Finn has been kind of lame since he came. You know, he hasn't done really anything.
Yo, let's talk about Finn for a second, because I was talking to Dalton about this on Twitter the other day. This dude is such, you can do a case study on this man's WWE run. Since the day he came into WWE, has his gimmick not been, hey man, I did some cool ass shit in Japan? Has that not been his gimmick the entire time?
That's kind of like Gallows and Anderson too, though. They're like, yeah,
but at least
awesome
Gallows and Anderson have like something to their name in, like they did the club thing in WWE. So at least they they have something.
Yeah, Finn Balor has. Yeah, I see that. I definitely do.
He has nothing. So like, how long has he been here? 5 years? He's been in the WWE a long time. And it's like, they've reset his gimmick at NXT, and his gimmick is, shit, bro, Japan. I did some cool finger gun stuff in Japan. So that's what it is.
It's about to get real and roller.
Yeah,
it
took 5 years for them to do the exact thing he was doing 6 years ago. It's like,
yeah, if he came in as Prince Devitt, it would have been lit.
Why didn't he just do this right when he showed up? Like, you spent all this time, like, this dude was an entrance for 5 years. Entrance for 5 years. And you tell me you couldn't just have him go, I'm real rock and roller, shooter, you know what I mean? Like, just like, you
tell
me. Fuck
after New Japan.
It's like they had to, like, reset him just so he can be like, yeah, we did this in WWE. It's like, bro, are you kidding me? You couldn't do this. Well, at least AEW produced some good stuff this week. So, like, I was happy with that.
Yeah, doesn't help that I'm not, like, entirely thrilled about Crown Jewel. Just based off of
like,
everything.
This whole time period right now is just like, all right, can we, like, move on to whatever's next? I feel like whatever's next isn't very good. I think Survivor Series is next. So, like, this is just, like, a very bland time in WWE's pay-per-view schedule. Is Survivor Series next or...
Hold on, let me see here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because they usually run Survivor Series in November, so November's next. So that
War
makes
Games, like, NXT War Games. What else they got? What's after
at least
War
the
Games?
First one was
Survivor Series. Yeah, War Games, Survivor Series. I think it's just that Tyson Fury, I don't care about.
I just don't care about anything on Crown Jewel Pura because it doesn't fucking matter. Like, that's just another scenario of, like, whatever happens here doesn't matter. Like Shawn Michaels coming back for that match or whatever, like, everyone already forgot about that. Like, it didn't exist. So it's just like,
yeah, and then let's move on. Big battle royal they do that doesn't matter. I guess this year it mattered. I don't know. Moonsor, what? Mansoor, what's his name?
Mansoor. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and they didn't even put him on TV after that. he won that big thing, and then, like, they never put him on TV. So just like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
Yeah, just
that makes sense.
This is just such a down period in WWE. It's like, it's hard to say anything, like, super positive about it because it is such a down period, and, like, there isn't much
going
on.
It's just like a letdown from, like, I don't know, it's just like from Hell in a Cell to this. It's like,
everyone was talking about the finish to Hell in a Cell, and then, like, all that shit died down. Now we're talking about Crown Jewel, and it's just like, okay, can we get to the next thing? Because, like, they announced the match for Crown Jewel, they're like, it can't be stopped for any reason whatsoever. I'm like, okay, so, like, how's it gonna get stopped? That's exactly how I think about it. It can't be stopped for whatever reason, so it is gonna be stopped. All right.
So what are you gonna do to make it end? Like, how is
whatever. Fuck, I would die laughing if, like, they, you know, like the old Ric Flair NWA reigns where, like, the Fiend beat him in Crown Jewel, but they don't acknowledge it on TV or whatever, and Seth's the champion.
They just don't ever talk about it.
Yeah, like Seth just comes back with the championship. Man, I put it all out. Empty the tank for the Fiend.
Empty the tank of gas for the Fiend.
Yeah, like, man, all right, brother. No, you talk about that.
We got Survivor Series, then Starcade. Apparently, Starcade's a thing.
Starcast or Starcade?
Starcade, December 1st.
Oh, because they do the Starcade thing for the house show network special.
Is it a network special?
Yeah, last time they did it was a network special.
Okay, then I guess we'll skip over that one. TLC's after.
There's
that,
so but. Much to skip. There's just, like, so much content to not watch. It's like, man, it drags me out that's of whatever. True. Like, I can't, like, I don't want to keep up with it because, like, I don't care. It's like, man,
that's
come
true.
On.
They do have so much stuff. It's just content.
Drown everything else out, but in the meantime, you're drowning yourself out, man. Trying to drown everybody else, you end up drowning with them. You know what I mean? Like, this is, it's rough times. Now, if Crown Jewel had light tube bundle matches, fuck yeah. If Seth versus The Fiend has a light tube bundle or a light tube log cabin, sign me the fuck up for
whatever
that is. Light
tube log cabin, let's go.
Yeah, like, we're getting crazy, dude. Like, if we're doing that, fuck yeah. Give me
that's a new Firefly Funhouse. Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, like, he walks into the funhouse and it's just a fucking, there's light tube dust all over the room and it's just log cabins all over the place. Oh, hell yeah. We're going to get crazy.
They're probably going to end up, they're going to go backstage. The Fiend's going to do something wacky. They're going to end up like this weird alternate
universe. Well, dude, they can't go any less than what they already have done. So, like, we have so far past whatever the fuck they thought they were going to do with this feud at Hell in a Cell, where they just, like, took out a big mallet. They had all the weapons in the ring. So, like, whatever the hell happens at Crown Jewel, if they have a regular wrestling match, it's going to go over like a wet fart. They cannot have, you can no longer have a regular wrestling match with these two
it's
guys.
It's
going
to be fantastic because these people in Saudi Arabia are not going to care.
You can't have a regular wrestling match. So what do you do? He better, I swear to God, he better use that mallet. He better hit him with
it's
that
false
mallet.
Count anywhere, right? Isn't it false count anywhere?
Yeah, I think so.
So they're going to end up in like this Firefly, I don't even know. They're going
to
end up in like
they
got to
do
universe.
Something. And it can't, it ain't ended in a pin.
Seth Rollins is going to go through a black hole, and then that's how the pay-per-view ends.
There ain't no Hulkamaniacs here, brother. Ah, that's not hot.
Oh, my gosh. You imagine? That'd be better than anything they're going to give us, to be honest.
It can't end in a pin. If he just strap curb stomps and beats him, it'd be the worst thing they do all year.
He's going to do one curb stomp and pin.
Oh, my God. They have so far past that. God damn. Whoo, they got to get crazy. I'm like... They better like transport him to like the depths of hell or something. They better fight in hell because they got to get crazy, man.
Can I read you this real quick while we're talking about before we wrap this up? I got the little r/squared circle thing I want to read here.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
In kayfabe, is Rey Mysterio the worst father of all time? His son ended up being put on the line in a ladder match where it was possible he could end up in the custody of Eddie Guerrero, who at the time was a psychopath. Then 15 years later, his son returns to his dad's workplace, only to get beaten up multiple times. Each time, Mysterio fails to protect him. Now he's getting kids to call someone a cock blah blah.
In Puerto Rico. I forgot about that Rey Mysterio thing. Rey Mysterio was like getting little 5-year-old kids to chant like cocksucker or something. Like, oh my God, Rey, no.
So that's Rey Mysterio, the worst father of all time. So that's fantastic.
Or the best, if you want to look at it either way. Like, I think Dominic grew up to be a pretty good kid, and now a bunch of kids are have a bunch of Fortnite shit to say when they're on the microphone now. They're going to call a bunch of
people cocksuckers. We love Fortnite. We love Fortnite.
So, like, maybe you can make an argument he's the best.
So I just wanted to put that out there. I thought that was hilarious before we ended it. I thought I'd share that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Because I almost forgot. I read the Puerto Rico shit about the cocksucker.
Yeah.
So, like, that works out great. Thank you, Ray Ray. All, yeah, I mean, even in your twilight years, you bring us some great fucking shit in wrestling, man. Thank you.
Can't wait to play 2K20 and beat my kids.
Enjoy 619. All right, guys. I think that's a good place to wrap it up here for this episode of Deadlock. Deadlock episode number 9. Appreciate Tony.
Number 10, we're going to be from an Airbnb. Don't worry.
Yeah, we have to go find an Airbnb. We'll be back here in a minute. Hopefully, Marcus will be back next week. Hopefully, he's over his sickness, and we're back to the regular crew here. Remember to head over to Apple if you guys want to help support. Leave that 5-star rating and leave a little review. Head over to the shop, buy you a t-shirt. You know, just simple ways to do that. Patreon.com/DeadlockBW, whatever the case may be. You know what the case is. And we'll be back next week, man. Hopefully we have another good week at AEW. Hopefully Chad Gable changes up his gear again. Hopefully this time he's got a
shorty.
He's got an even bigger G on his front. So I'm excited to see how this traverses. Anyways, thank you guys once again, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of the Deadlock Podcast.